Hi, good afternoon. Get ready to laugh and learn here on Good News in Real Estate. I'm Mark Cumberland, along with my co-host, the Mortgage Mom, Deanne Katsaris. How are you, Deanne?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you?
Very good. Very good. We're here every week on WWDB 860 on Fridays, 1 to 2. This is like the 500-and-something show. And if you want to ask us a question about real estate, mortgages, commercial real estate, whatever, give us a call. My number is 267-266-5501. What's your number, Deanne?
My number is 609-605-7153.
And we're here every week to keep you informed and help you in any way we can. You can listen to this show and past shows at WWDBAM's website or Good News in Real Estate. And you're allowed to call us. So, what's coming up today?
Coming up on today's show, Mark, we have the Market Report,
yes,
which is sponsored by the Philadelphia Real Estate Classes. Get a license now.
Time to sign up.
It is. We also have our business tips with Asking Dr. A.
Right.
We have Mark's funny story.
That one for you.
And we have our Mortgage Mom topic.
Which is?
Higher mortgage rates and lower rents. We also have our questions. If I was to buy in the market just starting out, what should I buy? Next question is it true that to get homeowners insurance, it's based on my credit and not just the house?
All right.
Next question is, my agent asked me to sign a contract before she would show me houses. Does that sound right?
That's a good one.
Next question is, how much cash on hand will I need to buy in the 200,000 range? And Mark, today's topic is misconceptions by buyers when making an offer on a house. But first, give us your motivational quote.
And this is a good one right now. So, life's problems wouldn't be called hurdles if there wasn't a way to get over them.
Wow.
Man, and we all facing some hurdles at the moment. But hopefully, I think 19's going to be great. We'll be leaping over the hurdles.
19's so going to be fabulous.
I think it's going to be very, very good. So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time, here on WWDB, 860 AM. We'll be right back after this.
Today, there are literally billions of users on social media. What, if anything, are you doing to tap into this vast market of home buyers and sellers? Can't decide whether Facebook or Twitter or Snapchat is the right place to promote your real estate business? Heard about Facebook ads for businesses, but don't know what to do to get started? If this sounds like you, then check out City Blast, the world's largest social media agency for real estate professionals. As often as you choose and customize to your market, City Blast's social experts post engaging articles, videos, and listings to your Facebook, Facebook business page, Twitter, and LinkedIn accounts. They've helped thousands of agents get leads through social media with their patented Never Lose a Lead service and can help you build your social media profile and market your listings online. Find them online at cityblast.com or call 1-888-712-7888. Again, that's cityblast.com or 1-888-712-7888. Use promo code Philly.
Hi, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time here on WWDB 860 AM. So where are we at?
Mark, we are up to the Market Report.
And where's the bell? So I'll tell you, the market is, I had a meeting with an agent today, and he's busier than he's ever been in his whole career. And then I hear other agents that are antsy because it slowed down a little bit over the last month. Their phone slowed down.
Yep.
With back to school and Thanksgiving and now Christmas coming. And I, you know, I say, are you calling your database and talking to them? Well, no.
Why has the phone stopped ringing?
I wonder why the phone stopped ringing.
It has to go both ways.
That's right. So anyway, single family home building has stalled a little bit. This is building. Which accounts for the largest share of the housing market, dropped 1.8% to a rate of 865,000 units. See, now, they make this sound negative, but we've been talking for like the last 4 years, 5 years, about they were only building 500,000 units a year when they used to build a million. Single-family home building has lost momentum since hitting its pace of 948,000 units last November, which was the strongest in more than 10 years. So they had that one big month. But they're starting, there's construction going everywhere.
Everywhere.
I actually looked at a report this week about metro areas.
Right.
And there's some metro areas that are slower than other ones. California, Florida, I think Arizona. Philly's not one of them. Philly's just zooming along, no problems whatsoever, busy. So a survey showed confidence among single home builders dropped to more than a two-year low in November, with builders reporting customers are taking a pause due to concerns of interest rates rising and home prices.
You know, I'm kind of stuck on this one because when we go to lock in a rate, you know, people, they don't know that the rates are higher. They really don't.
They're not.
They think that we're still at 4.5%, and I go to lock somebody at 5%, you know, they're like, when did the rates go up?
Months ago. Months and months ago.
Yeah, so.
And then they went down. We were at almost at 5, and actually, national media actually talked about real estate for about a week. And then the rates went down again to like 4.6, and that was the last we heard about real estate.
We're back up to 5.
And we're back down, back with the caravan and everything else. And they'll be talking about real estate. But anyway, realtors estimate the housing starts and completion rates need to be around 1.5 million to 1.6 million per month to plug this inventory gap. So, because eventually we're going to have a shortage if they don't catch up. Actually, Kramer, that does that show on the stock market, he was talking about the U.S. He said the housing market's falling apart. The Fed is ignoring the damage as it prepares what many expect to be 3 rate hikes in 2019. He goes, that could be a disaster. We're building about half the houses we did when the country had half the people, and we still need to sell them.
Right.
He goes, more drastically, so home building fell more drastically in September, according to the Commerce Department. Housing starts dropped 5.3% after rising slightly in August. Fed interest rates have contributed to the surge in mortgage rates, which in October jumped over 5%, then went back down. The central bank said it plans to raise hikes in December of this year, but then they're planning more. He goes, I was in favor of the rate hike, then like let's wait and see. I agree the same thing. I mean, if they did this rate hike, then wait and see what the result is. Don't plan to just keep raising them. Why mess with a business that's running
great? You're doing more damage than good.
Right. So the lack of rigor is leading the Fed to make decisions that are not safe and irresponsible when it comes to the U.S. economy. Mad Money hosts Kramer echoed this point. He says they need to do more of their own homework before they go making rash decisions. And I think I heard the administration talking about this week. He's against more rate hikes because why fix it at this moment? I don't think there's a need for it. So anyway, the inventory on the market actually grew a little bit, 2% nationally compared with the same time last year. I looked at the Philly market. I remember about a month ago, there was around 4,000 houses for sale in Philly, and it went up to like 4,100. So you added 100 houses to the 676,000 houses. I mean, that's not much of a big bump. So we're still in this inventory situation.
It's actually a loss because you have to figure the houses that sold already.
Right. So it's not like we're getting an avalanche of new inventory coming on the market. Now, if the rates get over 5 and some urgency and people sit around over Christmas and think about they want to make a move in 19, and the realtors call all their databases up and tell them what a great time it is to sell, maybe some inventory will come on the market. I think in 19 we'll see some more inventory. But I think it's going to take a while to catch up to a normal market. I saw some reports on Facebook, but you got to be really careful what you read. And guys, people with opinions saying, "Oh, we're slipping into the buyer's market," and you got to like, where's this person at? You know, hey, if he's in California, that could be true. In Philadelphia, that's not true yet.
Right.
And he is saying that you know we're almost up to that 6 months supply that equals the market. We're not even close
not
to
even
that.
Close,
we're not even
right.
close to that in Philly. Yeah. So new listings coming on the market, and prices on average were 8% cheaper. This is talking about nationwide. But affordability is an issue. With the increase in mortgage rates, prices keep going up in Philly for sure. New listings were also on an average smaller, perhaps because of the fastest growing inventory was condominiums and townhouses, and 7% single family homes. Now, in Philadelphia, it was interesting. We had a plus 9% in sales, but a minus 6 in inventory.
In inventory. Right, that's my point.
So, I mean, that's still a problem. I mean, like, you could be pre-approved, all ready to go, but if you can't find something, actually my topic today talks about that, like submitting an offer. But, I mean, it seems redundant. We keep talking about this. Market report. Inventory. The other thing I was thinking about, I was looking at all of our shows because I got them all saved all the way back from the very beginning. You know, in 19, this will be 10 years on the radio.
No way.
Yeah. This is our 10th year.
Oh, we have to have a big party.
We have to have something because I lost track of what the whole number show this is. Every week I throw out
a
number.
Come on, I was counting on you.
Oh, I actually tried to figure it out one day and then my phone rang and it was. but this is 10 years. 10 years.
Wow.
Yep. We started in 09.
10 years. We're longer than most marriages.
Yeah. We hung in there. We didn't bail and get a divorce.
That's awesome. Well, that segment was sponsored by the Philadelphia Real Estate Classes. Get your real estate license now, 215-335-6919, or you can go right online to philadelphiarealestateclasses.com. Now, 3 locations, Center City, Mount Airy, and Northeast Philadelphia.
All right. So you now tell me about the rates.
The rates. Everybody's worried about the rates. Just buy a house and figure it out later.
I'm not worried at all.
Your 30-year conventional is at 5%. 15-year is at 4.45%. Your FHA 30-year fixed is 4.875. Jumbo, 4.50. And your ARM is a 4.75.
Now, with jumbo, you got to put down 10%, correct?
It depends. You can do a jumbo. There are some banks that will do a jumbo with 5%.
5%?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I could have that. I have I have a client that's buying something, and it's over. It's 499.
Right.
So it's over at 450. Well, 453,100 is
the number. It's going up. It's going up in January.
To what?
To 489. It just came out today. I should know that. But it was just announced today.
Now, can't they invite me to this meetings when they have this meeting? And, like, just, like, let's just go to, like, 6. You know, you could buy a row house on Fitzwater Street in Queen Village for $550. And it'll be 42 feet long, 2 bedrooms, kitchen in the basement, and you got to do a jumbo loan.
I don't understand what the rationale is behind that. I think it's way too low. Why does it keep changing?
And why is it by county?
I
mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, we have Pittsburgh and Philly and Pennsylvania.
Well, look at
and
North
then in
Jersey.
The middle, and in the middle of the state, you got Alabama. So Alabama's prices are a lot lower. But like in Philly, I mean, you could buy a row house in Fishtown that's going to be 6-something. So you can't get a 3% conventional loan.
Correct. And going to North Jersey, they start at 625. FHA, their loan limit is 625.
Yeah, so why are they being punished? I don't get it. And who actually makes that decision?
That's my whole point. Fannie.
What's her last name, Fannie?
May.
We should call her up.
Let's call her up.
I just don't get it. I mean, why are they so low? We're 2018. What was it? Do you happen to know what the limit was 10 years ago? Off the top of your head,
no.
What do you think it was in Philly?
No.
We're at 453.
Mark, I wasn't even born then, so I mean.
We're at 453,100.
We're at 453,100.
So what do you think it
was
10 years?
I don't know. I honestly don't
think it was in the fours?
I don't think it was in the fours.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's in 2019, it's going to go from 453,100 to 484,350.
Why couldn't they just make it 499?
Why couldn't they just go to 500?
500. 500 solves my problem. Then my guy can go a 3% down loan.
He still can. 3%. What's the sales price?
499.
So that's 15,000.
Right.
So you're right there. You're at 4. He could do 485.
With 3% down?
3% down.
Yeah, isn't it based on the sale price?
Yeah.
Well, the sales price is 499.
So round it up to 500. 3% of that is 15.
Right.
Which would bring you to 485. So he's got to put another
$700. Yeah, but that's the assist. Isn't it based on the sales price, not minus the seller's
assist? It's the sales price.
All right, so my sales price is 500.
Okay, so you're good.
Wait a minute. This is like who's on first here. My sales price is 500.
And
right?
3%
and my guy can get 3%. That's $15,000.
Right, which is 400.
So his loan amount is 485.
Right.
But he has to do 5% down or 10% down because the sales price is 500, not 489. No?
No.
It's based on the mortgage?
Yes. It's based on the loan limit, not the sales price. You're good. You're fine. All day long.
All I got to do is wait till January.
You got to wait till January.
January what? One?
All right. Well,
this is government, man.
I know. And I'll let, it's 2019. I'll let you know.
What a mess.
I'll let you know.
What a mess. I just don't get this county stuff, man.
We're going to run out of time.
All right.
So you need to tell us your funny
story. So you had me ranting there, man. I was starting to vent. All right, you want to hear the story?
Not vent, you were ranting.
Ranting. All right, so here's the story. A realtor left for work one Friday afternoon. And right about now, and it was payday, he got his settlement check. So instead of going right home, he figured he'd stay out for a while or go to a bar. And he ended up staying out for the entire weekend and spending all of his money with some fellow employees. When he finally appears home on Sunday night, he's confronted by the angry wife, and she's barraged him for nearly 2 hours with a triad about him, all his actions over the weekend and not coming home. Finally, the wife stopped nagging him and said to him, "How would you like it if you didn't see me for 2 or 3 days? And he was in that mood, probably still drunk, and said, "That'd be fine." So Monday comes, goes by, he doesn't see his wife. Tuesday, he doesn't see his wife. Wednesday comes, still didn't see his wife, same result. But on Thursday, finally, the swelling went down a little bit in his right eye, and he could kind of see her out of the corner of his eye.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. If you have a funny story.
I had you going, though. You were paying attention, man.
I was like, what? If you have a funny story you'd like to hear on our show, send it to 8029@comcast.net or give us a call at 267-266-5501.
And coming up next will be our mortgage segment with the mortgage mom, Deanne Katsaris. And our topic is higher rate, lower rents. So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Mark Cumberland from Good News in Real Estate Show. I also represent buyers and sellers in the residential and commercial market. My number is 267-266-5501. I have years of experience dealing with buyers and sellers and teaching real estate. Just so you know, it's probably the best time to buy since the 50s. The consumer index is so low, along with the rates, it makes it cheaper to buy today than in 1989. If you're thinking of selling, don't wait. Prices are going up and there's a lack of inventory. Call me. I will help you with your real estate needs. My number is 267-266-5501.
Hi, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time here on WWDB 860 AM. So now it's time for the mortgage segment with the mortgage mom, Deanne Katsaris, and she's going to be talking about the higher rate and the lower rents. So tell me how this goes.
So this was an analyst. They assessed the year ahead for residential housing in the Philadelphia region. So this is not my word. This is an analyst that is assessing the situation, which I'm sure you're going to completely disagree with.
I read a lot of these.
But I'm going to read it anyway because I thought it was pretty interesting.
All right, well, tell me.
So, I mean, it's hard to believe that 2019 is right around the corner to begin with. I just feel like I just closed my pool.
Weeks away.
Unbelievable. But economists and real estate experts are already predicting what a year the new year will bring to the housing market. Not only in our Philadelphia region, Mark, but also nationally. The 2018 residential market offered some much-needed relief to home shoppers for those for the last few years that battled bidding wars and rising prices as they search for a new home, which is true because every time we put an offer in on a house, let's say we put an offer in on Wednesday, we're not even done negotiating that until Friday, Saturday. We're constantly getting, final and best, which how many times normally have you gotten that? Maybe once in a while? This was every single deal.
Yeah, because there's 10 more buyers than there are sellers.
That's right. That's right. So in 2019, the experts believe a slowdown of the region's hot market will continue.
A slowdown?
A slowdown.
What, because of the slowdown in the last month or so?
Well, that's what they're saying. I'm going to get through another sentence before you disagree with me.
I'm not disagreeing.
So the Inquirer surveyed market observers to compile a list of real estate predictions for the region in 2019.
They didn't call me.
So here's the top five. Ready?
Ready.
Interest rates will continue to rise, squeezing buyers and the slowing demand. So hovering over the past 3 years, the interest rates have been around 3%. The average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage has hurtled toward 5% in the recent weeks. Have we gone down to 4.5, 4.6? Yes, but we're upwards in the fives now, which you should be happy about because that's where you want it to be.
I just think it's going to cause urgency.
Yeah, okay. Economists say that they expect the rates to even further next year, especially as the Federal Reserve has indicated that it may raise rates multiple times
which
in
is
2019.
A bad move.
Compared in the early 1980s, when I was still in
born.
Diapers, when mortgage rates climbed as high as 18%.
And there was a peanut farmer who was president.
The increase in today's rates might not seem like a big deal, but historically, today's average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage is lower than it's been during the housing boom in the 2000s.
Say that again?
Historically, today's average rate on the 30-year fixed mortgage is lower than it was during the housing boom of the 2000s.
Yeah, they
which
are.
Is true.
They are.
Which is true.
They are.
Yet the last time the mortgage rates hovered in this high was in the early 2011.
Right.
The increase to a 5% mortgage rate and beyond, economists say, could turn away buyers who are already stretching to purchase a home. So anyone that has gotten pre-approved in the past at 4.25% or 4.5%, jumping up that half a point is going to make a big difference.
Yep.
Especially on the, not so much on $100,000 or $150,000, but when you get over $250,000, $275,000, $300,000,
yeah,
it's going to make a difference. So obviously, the higher that the rates go, the less people can afford to pay when they're out in the market.
Right.
So they should rise about 4.85% to about 5.8% by the end of next year. And I think that's going to be a major shift in the market.
If they go that high.
If they go that high. Now, they've been talking about this for a while. The next one is number two. The single family housing market will continue to cool but not crash.
That's right, because we only have a 3-month supply of inventory at the moment. A 6-month supply is normal. It's going to take us a half a year just to get to a normal market.
Right. I think that the buyers are starting to step back and say, is it something that I can wait for a little while, or is it something I can afford in the coming months? You know, they're not really sure. With the home prices tracking up, we have not really seen a comparable wage increase over that period of time, so they're saying.
Well, that is actually happening. Wages are going up because people now can shop for a different job because there's 7 million open positions in the country.
7 million?
7 million.
We've had pent-up demand and low inventory, okay, which would naturally increase prices, and it's certainly not a bubble in the way that it was before, in the way that we could anticipate a large price drop and the devaluation of homes. So
no, we're not even close to
we're
that.
We're not even close to that. All right, the next one is city apartment rent prices will level off, but condo sellers might be in luck.
And why will they be luck?
With the high prices of single-family homes keeping some buyers out of the market, it would be natural to think that apartments could see a surge of demand.
And they're still building multifamily big time.
More than 3,900 apartment units were in progress in Greater Center City in 2018, and the Center City District said in a March report that more are expected to be completed in the early 2019.
Yep. A couple of years back, we gave a number. How many are in the pipeline?
Right. And even while the rent prices have ticked up slightly in recent months, according to some recent measurements, they're not necessarily here to stay. The rise in prices could stem from luxury units hitting the market, driving the median average and rent rates upwards. I mean, the stuff that they have out there now is amazing for rent, where you've never seen that kind of luxury rental, especially in Philadelphia. I mean, it's amazing the things that they're building now.
Yeah, their mindset has changed.
Because of the millennials.
Yeah, and their mindset has changed, and it now even the stuff they do at the colleges, it's all granite and Wi-Fi and
it's, you know, off the charts.
Yeah, it's like, you know, not the, back in the day it was the Berber carpet,
right.
The white, the eggshell paint, and then that slightly different. Everything looked like that. And well, now it's all higher end, but it lasts longer too.
A friend of mine, her son's going to Texas A&M. Sent me pictures. It's a resort. Yeah. Swimming pool, the gym, the cafeteria. It's not even a cafeteria. It's a cafe. It's amazing.
Yeah.
The kids will never want to leave. All right. We're almost done. New construction will slow more than it already has. We know that after falling dramatically during the Great Recession, housing starts, the number of new housing units that have begun construction have slowly climbed, but will remain far behind where they were during the housing bubble in the early 2000s. Economists expect sluggish growth continue or even get worse for next year.
Is this just about Philly Metro or nationwide?
Yeah, this is Philly Metro.
Yeah, well, construction is booming, and there's all kinds of stuff. I think there's still going to go stuff going on, especially like now. Look what's happening with Chris Summers and them up in Kensington.
Right.
And that's going to continue. Because it's a great time to build, and they're building like what we got to go to.
Yeah, we have to go there.
They're having another event, but
all right,
that was like 154 units.
Yeah,
starting at like 320.
And it looks like a great project.
At Frankfurt and Lehigh.
All right, last one. Discussion of the future of the Philadelphia's 10-year tax abatement will continue.
Yeah.
So for the last 2 years, concerns around Philadelphia's 10-year tax abatement, the policy that allows for new construction or improvements to exist properties to receive a tax-exempt status for a decade have been brewing. No pun intended.
Yeah, because this city council is the worst. And they're, like, thinking about stopping that. And now they want to get involved in housing,
well,
which government is terrible at housing.
They're saying that it's been the backbone of the city's real estate development.
Boom.
Yeah, and taking away could significantly slow down the housing
market. But the other thing that they don't ever talk about is that we are a bargain. We're 90 miles. We're right in the middle of New York and Washington, D.C. They never talk about that point.
They never talk about
anything. Anything that we're doing here, if you do in New York or Washington, it's double or triple the price.
Right.
Like, they don't talk about that. And why screw with that abatement? Why mess with that?
Even when Amazon was supposed to come in,
no.
And we didn't get Amazon. New York, Virginia.
Wynn casinos.
Right.
They let so many big fish go by here. They're, like, terrible. And now they're actually talking about getting into housing development. I worked at City Council. I remember back in the day, and they were actually there was like 80,000 abandoned houses in Philadelphia. And they were trying to say it was like 50. And that was still a high number. But they were getting involved, the housing. There's about 19 housing groups in city government,
right.
And they were doing the CDCC or whatever it was.
Yeah, CDC.
They were rehabbing these abandoned houses, and they were spending like 80, 90 grand on it back then. I'm talking in the 90s.
Right.
For on a two-bedroom row that some speculator would have bought for like 5-10 grand. Knocked it out in a month.
Right.
The thing went on forever, and then they gave it away.
Right.
And then 10 years later, it was abandoned again. I mean, their city government is just to stay out of the housing business. They should cut some taxes and do some things that would make it even more incentive, but they don't. They like
well,
nickel
why,
and dime
that's
us
why
to
you're
death.
Supposed to run. So you actually, can't rant, actually, you got to run.
I walked into a bar yesterday and somebody said, the mayor. Because somebody, I put that out on Facebook. Right. Somebody approached me about possibly running for mayor. God, I couldn't believe how many people volunteered to help me. I had people wanting to donate money.
That's
what
awesome.
Do I need?
You should do it.
Yeah.
All right. We got to move on. We got to get on to our questions.
All right. What's the first question?
The first one is, if I was to buy in this market just starting out, what should I buy?
Me and you talked about this a lot. This a duplex.
A duplex all day long. Even a triplex.
Yeah,
a
triplex,
if you're
going to
live in one of these units, FHA, 3.5% down, collect some rent. I'm looking at
a 2x2.
A 2x2.
A 2x2. And live for free.
Yep, absolutely.
And in 2 years, then buy something else if you want a house.
Yep.
And then let that thing. I got a guy right now. He's looking above Cottman Avenue for a duplex. So he's got and he's approved for 200. But I'm
with who?
I don't know. I the guy won't call me.
Oh God.
I'm trying to get him hooked up with you. Cause I'm saying you need to be like 250, 260. I said, but your guy doesn't understand what's going on here.
Right.
I actually talked to my friend that referred him to me on the way to the station today. He's going to call him. Because if he, say, he buys where I live, Fox Chase, he buys a 2x2 in Fox Chase, he's going to rent one out for like $1,400, $1,500 a month. That's his mortgage.
Yeah.
He's good.
I'm going to look at a property on Friday. I can't wait. That's in Glassboro that my son's going to actually live in. I'm going to co-sign. And he's going to be plus, like a nice chunk of change. So he doesn't have to worry about work. Well, he's got to pay me back, but he doesn't have to worry about working during the summer because he's got everything paid. He's going to learn how to be a landlord.
Right.
It's a win-win situation.
Yeah. I and then, you know what? Look, we just talked about we've been on the radio 10 years. 2 years is going to go by like a heartbeat.
Right.
And then you can buy either another one or a house, and now you got $2,800 a month coming in.
Yeah.
And you 2 years of that mortgage was paid down.
Right.
Now you got equity, too.
All right,
if I was starting out, that's exactly what I would. Nobody ever gave us advice.
Well.
Nobody told me that in the beginning. And then when I got my real estate license, my first broker said, yo, go get them. Good luck.
It's only for the select. All right, question number two. Is it true to get homeowner's insurance, it's based on my credit and not just the house?
Well, that kind of happened over the last few years.
Well,
but now
it depends on the company.
Now I'm getting calls from insurance company. They're not checking credit.
It depends on the company. You know, 80% of the companies do not change your your credit.
The one thing I didn't like that changed, they were starting to do inspections. And then you get an insurance guy.
Trying to be an inspector.
Yeah, I told you about that one up near me. And the guy was looking at the, I think you need a new roof. And I was like, who are you? The insurance guy. Why don't you climb on up there?
Let me know.
I didn't bring my ladder.
Question number three. My agent asked me to sign a contract before she would show me houses. Does that sound right?
Yes. If your agent's any good, your agent should ask you to sign a contract, especially in Pennsylvania or Jersey, because if you do not sign a contract with your agent called a buyer agency agreement, your agent doesn't represent you.
Right.
They could show you the houses, but they're technically, legally on the sour side. So you get all their information and all their knowledge basically for free. The seller pays their commission, but if you don't sign a contract with them, they're not on your side.
Right.
And you should ask your agent about that. A lot of agents don't because they're scared the buyer will say no.
Which means you don't have a buyer anyway.
Right. To me, if they say no, then I'm like, well, wait a minute. You don't want me to represent you? Right. Then maybe you're not the client for me.
Exactly. All right. Question number four. How much cash on hand will I need to buy in the 200,000 range? You know, that depends. Obviously, you're going to need a down payment anywhere, 3.5%, 5%. Plus, you're going to need your closing costs, which can range anywhere from 4 to 5%. Of whatever the sales price is.
I figure around
depends
10,
on what
10
the taxes.
$10,000 if you get some assist.
Yeah, it depends on what the taxes are.
Right. Depends on the taxes, and if you get some buyer assist, I mean, $200,000, you could get 6% seller assist.
And just come to the table with three and a half percent.
$7,000.
All right, question number five. What are the chances of me selling my own home as for sale by owner?
The numbers are
slim to none.
97% will end up listing.
That's right.
Out of the 3% that sell, half of those will not get to the settlement table. So your chances are slim.
That's what I think.
You're in the 3 percentile.
Right. Last question. Does a homeowners association have the right to remove a political poster from your yard?
Yes, if it's in the rules.
If
it's in the bylaws, no political posters, you cannot put them up. They can take them down.
Very good. All right, well, coming up next is our business segment with Asking Dr. A.
Very good. So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time. We will be right back.
If you are in the real estate industry or looking to buy or sell a house and are in need of a title company willing to work within your schedule and where you need them to, then call National Title Agency at 856-596-6550. Trust the company whose commitment to exceeding expectations and fast, reliable service has made them the choice title insurer for the real estate industry throughout the Delaware Valley. National Title's business model and proactive approach to preparing title commitments, preparation for closing, and attention to detail provide an easy, effective, and hassle-free avenue to closing. They close loans faster, more effectively, and more efficiently than the competition. Headquartered in Marlton, call them today, 856-596-6550, or visit them online at nationaltitle.net. National Title Agency, exceeding your expectations. Closings anytime, any place, anywhere. 856-596-6550 or nationaltitle.net.
Hi, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time here on WWDB 860 AM. Where are we at, Deanne?
Mark, we are up to our business segment with Asking Dr. A. And today's segment is seven rules on setting up an interview.
And this is great because I am in the middle of a lot of interviews. So how are you, doctor?
I'm doing fantastic, Mark, Deanne. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Excellent.
So tell us how we're starting here.
Well, I'm just going to start right into it because we spent a little time last time talking about interviewing. But what I want to do is I want to talk about a number of things to think about no matter what type of interview you're doing, whether it be a hiring interview, whether it be performance evaluation interview, whether it be a coaching interview, whatever. So because these things hold for all of them.
Okay.
All right.
So
– I was looking for my pen. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
All right.
It needs to be an inviting environment. You always want people to leave feeling really good about the interview. That gives you full control of whether you want to say yes or no to them, because no matter what happens in an interview, you always want them to say yes. Why? Because even if you don't hire them, you can tell them tactfully, number one. And number two, you can never tell when they might be a client of yours or they might be buying whatever it is that you're selling. So you want them to feel good about the interview.
All right.
Now, one of the things to think about is whether you want to be in an office or a space that has windows or doesn't have windows. I mean, windows are nice because it makes it airy and open. The problem is sometimes the interviewer gets distracted by what they see outside or what the person on the being interviewed sees on the outside. But that's one thing to think about. And another thing is you really don't want to have distractions or any type of noise. I mean, these are common sense things, but how many times have you been in a room or in an interview where somebody's phone goes off, okay? Or somebody knocks on the door and wants your attention for something, and then you have to stop what you're doing with the interview. You should make sure that that doesn't happen so people know that that can't happen.
Right. Right? Like I just had a situation yesterday. I forget what they're called. What are them things called on the top of your door that pull your door close?
Hinge?
I don't think so. It's not the hinge holds the door. The thing that pulls the door shut.
Okay.
Whatever
we
that's
get
called.
It.
Anyway, I had a problem at my conference room. I was interviewing yesterday, and that thing right. wasn't working, and the doors kept going open, and then people were talking in the lobby while I was trying to interview. So, like today, I did an interview, and I took them in my other office where it was nice and quiet. And so that is important. Distractions are, you know, people get distracted. And I was making really good points, I thought. And then other people were talking and laughing, walking by. And so that's important.
For sure. And my suggestion, and that would be to just say to the person, you know, this isn't the way I planned it to be. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can find a quiet space for us.
Right.
You know, and then just stop the interview and then just, you know, it might take a couple minutes, but what you're doing is you're demonstrating respect for the person. And that's really important. So hopefully that doesn't happen again. But if it does, what you want to do is you want to take control and demonstrate the respect and just move on with it.
Yeah, I told my assistant to get that fixed today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Another thing is that I recommend is it's important as to how you're sitting in relationship to the other person, right? And there's a couple different theories about this. Personally, I prefer being like 90-degree angles. And why I say that is because if you're 90-degree angles, the person can feel comfortable of not looking directly at you, okay? Obviously, you're going to be observing whatever they do because nonverbals are very important in the interview process. But it makes it a little bit more comfortable for them because they don't have to look directly at you. 90 degrees is a very, very comfortable type of situation to have the chairs at. Another issue is, do you have a table there or not? A table is somewhat comforting for people because it gives you a little border or boundary so they can feel a little bit more comfortable. It depends on what your personal style is as to whether you want to have a table there or not. It can be very, very useful. It's a place to put, you know, any type of material that you're having. What usually happens with our people using us is they have the reports that are right there. So they make notations right on the reports, and sometimes the person being interviewed also puts things on reports.
You know what? That's a good one, Doctor, because in the last couple companies I ran, I always had a desk and I always get a round table in the room, too. So they're not sitting in front of my desk, even though I am, like, really warm and fuzzy.
Oh, my God.
But I don't want to, like...
I can just imagine, Mark.
I don't want to intimidate them, and I don't know how people even see me as intimidating, but apparently sometimes I was seen as intimidating. But I do feel more comfortable, like, to step away from my desk and sit at a round table with, like, three chairs, and it seems more...
I mean, that's an excellent point, because at a round table, there's nobody at the head and nobody at the foot. You
right.
know, everybody's right. equal. So that is a great point.
All right.
Right. A couple other things. One of them is it a one-on-one interview or is it a group interview? And that depends on who needs to be involved in the interview. Personally, I think anybody who's going to be interacting on a regular basis with the person needs to at one point or another be involved in the interview process. Because they need to give some input and they need to give you some ideas regarding whether this person would fit or not, and as well as what your personal criteria is. And the last thing I want to say.
Can I say something about that one? That one is
absolutely.
A good point. Like, I'm coaching a couple teams right now, agents, and I have met with the team leader individually. But then I always make him bring, like, his main assistants to a meeting, too. So when
right.
we really get into it, they feel included.
Right.
Plus, they understand what we're all trying to accomplish rather than so if this team leader says to me he's going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, he's saying in front of these people that – their personalities are usually the S's and the C's. They're all about whys, so then they get to understand why we're all doing this, which I think
right.
is important.
I'll give you another just brief example. I'm working with the Homeowners Association, and they're hiring a general manager, but they already have an assistant general manager who also felt that they should be interviewed and involved in the process. Well, we let them know that we didn't feel that they were ready yet for that role. But what we did do is we included them in the interview process for the general manager. So they weren't involved in the first interview, but the second interview, what we did is we had the assistant general manager in there with a number of the board members of the association doing the interview. And it was really insightful because we asked the person, one of the candidates, a question, and she turned and looked at the assistant general manager and said, how would you handle this? Which was a great response, you know, and all of a sudden she's trying to form a bond with the assistant general manager, which is exactly what we were looking for. So there's all kinds of interesting dynamics and things you can learn if you have the right people involved in the interview processes.
And that was a good leadership answer, too, because that's leverage.
Absolutely.
See, I learned a lot in the last 10 years, man.
It's amazing.
Doctor, we'll be on the air 10 years starting 19.
Really? Wow. Congratulations.
She don't believe
it. Dr. A said he's coming in to celebrate with us.
Yeah, we're going to have something for the 10th year anniversary.
Let me know when it is, and I'll see what my schedule allows for.
What is a 10-year in a wedding? Is it is that an emerald or something?
It's diamonds. It's diamonds.
Diamonds
to the co-host.
No, it's not.
It's diamonds to the co-host.
Diamonds is 10 years?
No, but that's what Dan wants.
I thought it was bronze or
Come
something.
Come on, Mark.
Isn't it pewter, 10 years? All right, what's the next one, Doctor?
Well, the next one, what we're going to do is we're going to get a little bit more into the hiring interview again, because that's one of the primary ones. We spent a little time the last time talking about that, but I really want to get into much more effectively looking at the hiring interview to give people some additional insight to some things that they should be aware of.
Which I am really into this because 19 for me, I'm hiring, man. I'm doing interviews almost every day now. Like anybody out there in radio world, real estate agents doing $1.5 million or above, I'm hiring. I got a great deal here, but I'm doing interviews almost every day now, and with all different levels. People doing a couple million in sales, average agents, and people doing 100 million in sales, and it's interesting. They all have the same problems, just with more zeros.
That is interesting, isn't it? I actually did several studies on real estate agent performance in the 80s and 90s and came up with dozens and dozens of issues. And there were some things that differentiated top performers from lower level, you know, performers. But most of the stuff was very, very similar no matter what level it is.
It is.
Especially if they have a team, because people are people whether you've got $100 million in production or you've got $10 million or you've got $2 million.
Especially realtors, you'd be shocked that the ones that are really big producers are so much a realtor at heart rather than a business person. All right, we got to wrap it up, Doctor. So tell us how to get a hold of you.
It's real easy. It's Abelson at abelson.net, A-B-E-L-S-O-N at A-B-E-L-S-O-N.net, or just go to www.abelson.net.
All right, very good, Doctor.
Thank you, Dr. A. Topic of the day. Misconceptions by buyers when making an offer on a home.
All right. So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time. We'll be right back.
Thinking of getting a real estate license? It's a great time to get into business with unlimited earning potential. Philadelphia Real Estate Classes. It's a real estate school conveniently located in Philadelphia. They offer day and night classes to get you on your way into the real estate industry. If you plan to do real estate part-time or full-time, getting your license is the first step. Call 215-335-6919. Philadelphia Real Estate Classes has experienced instructors to help gain the insights you need to pass the real estate exam and get your license. It's a great time to get started. Call the Philadelphia Real Estate Classes at 215-335-6919 or visit our website at philadelphiarealestateschools.com. Get a license now.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time here on WWDB 860 AM. See how fast I said that?
Yes. Mark, we are at our topic of the day, which is misconceptions by buyers when making an offer on a house.
Yeah, and this one really plays into the whole market scenario that we've been talking about. and the rates went up a little bit, but the inventory didn't. So buyers in are catch 22, and you better be ready. There's no, you better have a good agent and go into this understanding what you're facing and not start this thing when you're thinking about, I will never write a full price offer. If that's the mindset you go into, you're going to be looking at a lot of houses because the inventory is not, just not there. Someone has taught consumers to never offer a full price. This is like the, all those myths out there. That you are a fool if you offer full price. Uncle Harry advice, this is. Why negotiating has a place in real estate sales. If a property is a good value, why risk the acquisition of it to save a few thousand dollars? And most of the time, that's what it is.
Right. And you have to, and what's your payment difference?
Right.
Look at the payment difference.
Yeah. I mean, what's 10 grand over 30 years on a mortgage you're never going to have for 30 years?
Exactly.
That's the thing they don't understand. Right. They got to counsel their clients. You have to be able to convey the true cost of the difference between their projected low offer and a full price offer. Too many buyers see a low offer as some huge say, I'm going to save $10,000. You're not saving $10,000 in your pocket.
Right.
That's one of the things they don't understand. You're saving $10,000 on a mortgage. You're still going to have closing costs, and on $10,000, it's not going to be that big of a difference. But if you have a good agent and you save with seller assist, then maybe you do save it out of your
right.
pocket. But that's a misconception. And for a well-priced home in a competitive marketplace of good homes, the buyer may save at best 2%, 3% of the sales price. At best. That is probably the best they can do when they're competing with a good home in a high-demand marketplace. If you allow this type of thinking on your client, then you might be faced with houses they didn't get. Once they have one that they fell short, they lose, and they wanted that house, now they want that house again.
Right.
And that house exactly again might not be out there, and they're never going to be happy. To be blunt, they didn't acquire it because the agent didn't convince them to offer a full price first shot in. A lot of – there's this misconception these buyers think, well – well, Uncle Harry said, well, what we'll do is we'll go, it's listed for 200. Let's pick 200. So we'll offer 190 and then we'll see what happens. And then the buyer will probably come back to us and then we'll go back up a little bit and then they'll come back and we'll go a little higher and we'll end up meeting somewhere in the middle.
Right.
Yeah.
You end up losing the deals.
And then the first one, the buyer gets 7 offers and they sit down with the agent and they look at all the pre-approvals and the buyer's financial and the bank accounts, and they look at who's going to be the less hassle here and is definitely going to be able to settle, and they sign that one, and nobody else gets countered.
Yep.
And then all the agents say, you should have called us. We would have went higher. Well,
all day long.
It's over. It's over. That's the way I did it. When I was listing agent for, I was 80-20 residential. There was no counters unless I didn't get what I wanted.
Right.
That was the only time I countered. But now if they're coming in full price and I'm getting exactly what I want, it's over.
Right.
Misconceptions. Always start low and come up later. We kind of just talked about that. You know, sometimes if you go in low, it could be an insult to the sellers. You know, that why are they even – like I priced this right. Me and my buyer, this house shows right and is priced right. Why do you think I'm going to come down 10 grand just because you think that? And there's other things too. The seller wants to relate to these buyers. So these buyers came in the house, and if the seller was there and there was some connection, and then this person comes in full price, they're taking that deal.
Sure.
And that one that came in 10,000 lower, that saved 10,000 over 30 years on the average life of a mortgage is 6 years, you're not in the game. You lost the house, so now you didn't get it. So what you got to do is you got to combat these misconceptions in these low offer areas and explain what can happen to the seller. Take time to educate the buyers. Let them understand their risk. There's a lot of risk here. Like say you got to move and then you start playing these kind of games and you keep losing. All of a sudden the clock's ticking.
Yep.
So what will it take to be the seller's best buyer? Like think of it that way. Showing the best offer, having all your ducks in a row, you're with a really good mortgage company that people know. Well, you got bank statements, your buyer's financial, right. Everything looks great on paper. So they know, the seller knows they're dealing with somebody that's not going to be a hassle. What will it take to avoid offending the seller? You know, the seller's got feelings about their houses too. They're in love with this house. This was their house, but they got to move.
Right.
You know, the probability that you got to use, go after their heart too. That's why I always suggest writing a letter, I feel good letter to the seller, explaining to the seller why you're doing what you're doing, and how much you love their house.
Yep.
Pull on the heartstrings.
I recommend that all the time.
All the time. Those letters, sometimes I've won deals that somebody outbid me, but because we tugged on the heartstrings,
right. They
wanted us to have the house, which is legal. That's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
They can sell to who they want it. And then the other misconception is a good property will wait to act. Now, this is a real bad one. Like, well, let us think about it for a few days. And, you know, we'll sit around and we'll think about it. And
but we love it.
Yeah, but we love it. But then now it's gone. It's gone. What do you mean it's gone? Well, they got five offers over the weekend. So you got to go through what the buyers and what the rules are selling. Good properties sell fast. If you wait, you may lose it. You know, sellers are not going to sit around waiting for people to make decisions if they keep getting better offers. So if you sleep on it, you may not sleep in it. It might be gone. Buyer needs to know that even overnight consideration for the best properties is a significant risk. So, all right, we'll meet with you tomorrow and write the deal. Maybe you should write the deal tonight.
Right.
The seller, we are going to the office to write the deal. Like I told you that one I did a couple years ago in Fox Chase. The seller happened to be there, and it was, I think it was $225, but I knew it would appraise higher.
Right.
I said, we're going to offer you $235 to get 10,000 seller assists. And the husband was sitting there holding the baby, and the wife was standing there, and they looked at one another, and they said, that's full price, right? I said, yeah. I said, we're going to go to the office and write that up right now. Will you take our offer? And they said, okay. And it was over.
Right.
But, I mean, that's the kind of stuff you got to do. So all these little things about urgency you got to deal with in this market. And even when the rates go up in 19, it's going to take us months and months and months to get to a normal inventory market. So be prepared. If you're going to be a buyer, be prepared to buy. And you're also, let me give you one last tip. You're allowed to get lucky. There's luck in real estate. You could walk into that first house, and that could be your house for the next 10 years because you got lucky.
Right.
The last house I bought, first one I looked at, the Convent.
It's shocking. There was different reasons for that.
So deal with the misconceptions up front in your early stages of the qualifying or the presentation. Don't wait until you're writing an offer before you deal with them. At that point, it's too late. Your buyer agent should have you prepped, and you should know all this about the market before you even go out looking, so you know what you're dealing with. So, and it's not like they're going to think that you are pushing them to buy.
Right.
This is the reality.
So, good segment, Mark.
Get ready.
All right. So if you have questions, you can email them to Mark at 8029@comcast.net or give him a call at 267-266-5501. You can also email me at DeanneKatsaris@comcast.net or give me a call at 609-605-7153.
And a special thanks to all of our sponsors for keeping us on the air for almost 10 years.
Oh, my God.
And to our faithful listeners for tuning in each week.
If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest on our show, give us a call at 267-266-5501.
So with that, have a great week. I'm Mark Cumberland.
I'm Deanne Katsaris, your mortgage mom.
You've been listening to Good News in Real Estate.
All positive, all the time.